lesson from Genesis is from the 9th chapter. One of the things that's unique about the Christian understanding of God, indeed the Jewish understanding of God, is that there is a dynamic relationship. It's not that God sits high up in the heavens and kind of watching a grand game of chess, but it is rather that God is involved with us, that God interacts with us, and that through this interaction we learn more and more who God is and who we are in relationship with God. It is this dynamic that is especially seen in the story of the flood, as it is recorded in Genesis. Listen now for the word of God, as it's found in Genesis 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Do you remember the first time you saw a rainbow? Now, I don't know if I actually remember the first time I saw a rainbow. Given my age and my family's habits, I imagine the first time someone pointed a rainbow out to me was when I was probably 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, standing in the front seat of my mom's car as she was driving down the road. In order to see, you know, this is back in the days before padded dashboards, and definitely children did not have to sit in the back seat in little tiny baskets and buckets, and at no point did I have to sit with my back toward everybody else and look back in the seat behind me. I can't think of a more boring sight, but that's the way the society and culture which we live now. Back then, I stand in the front seat, and I don't know if I could see out. I'm sure as we were driving along, mother would say, "Oh, look, a rainbow." I remember the rainbow is when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, living at 6016 West Farmington Road here in Peoria, and I was outside after a thunderstorm playing with the two girls that lived next door, Nancy and Carol. Carol was about my age, Nancy was a year or two older, and one of us spied this rainbow, and we knew, or at least we had been told, that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And so we set out, being the treasure hunters that we are, we oftentimes dig for buried treasure in our backyards with hoes and shovels, and dig maybe 2 or 3 feet down. And so we decided we were going to chase that rainbow to get at the end of the rainbow. So we tore off across the yard, a big, long, narrow backyard, running back toward a soybean field. And the farther we ran, the more distant the end of that rainbow came, look, and then all of a sudden, it disappeared. Almost like Brigadoon. This thin place, we hadn't been touch. It just completely disappeared. And so we were completely out of breath and terribly disappointed. But wouldn't you know it? We did the exact same thing as next time we saw a rainbow. And the time after that, time after that. Rainbows always seem to be just a little bit beyond our reach and our grasp. young or grass to hold on to. It's just a snow of the will. Not really. It's a little bit beyond our maybe it's too much hot air. A little bit beyond our grasp. You know, just as Jesus came up out of the waters of the Jordan, that many of you have been a few moments ago in the gospel lesson, and Jesus alone in Mark's gospel sees the heavens open and hears the voice of God come upon him saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So Noah, when he got off that ark, he heard what could only be the voice of God, a voice saying to him. Whether it was in his ears or in his mind, we don't know. But he heard God make a promise. He said, never again will I destroy all living things through a flood. I'm going to put this bow in the sky as a reminder to of this promise. I ask nothing of you, Noah, or of your descendants. I just want you to know that no matter what happens, I am never going to destroy all the new flesh as I just did. Now, as I say, there's a dynamic that goes on in Scripture, particularly in Genesis. So what caused God to say this? I imagine that as Noah and the inhabitants of the ark are floating around in the waters and waiting for the land to dry so that the ark could land, that God had a lot of time to think. And I think that God came to the realization that these human creatures that he created in the divine image were an independent lot. You know, God had created the heavens and the earth, and he declared everything good, and he created human beings in the divine image so that they could be stewards over that which God created. And he placed them in a beautiful garden that we call Eden, where all of their needs were met, and even when they felt lacking for companionship, God provided a companion, a fit. And yet there was this independent streak in these human creatures. They couldn't seem to follow the rules, and they ate this fruit that was forbidden, and they opened their eyes so they could be like God, because these human creatures want nothing more than to be like God, to be in control of things. And when God was walking through the garden and calling out their name like children who know that they're in trouble, hid. So these human creatures hid. And God called out their name. When they finally responded, they said, "We hid because we were naked." And God said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that which I told you not to eat?" And rather than fess up and accept responsibility for what they did, remember what they did? The one human creature says to God, "This woman whom you created, she made me do it." And the woman said, "Don't blame me. This serpent, this hisser that you created, beguiled me, tricked me into eating this. Not me. I'm not responsible. Not my fault. It just kind of happened." And so God knew at that point that rules and regulations really wouldn't work. So God decided to try something different. Something that we find throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God decided to try love. Love, as I told the children, is the one thing that can melt the coldest heart. It is the one thing that can break down the highest. I'm going to unstring my war bow. I'm going to place it in the heavens, pointed toward the heavens. Never again will it point toward the earth. Because I am going to win you by love. And so, when we human creatures continually stumble, God does not destroy everything, but there's always a sign of grace. There is always a remnant left behind. When the Israelites were too afraid to walk into an unknown future of the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey, God rose up from their midst after 40 years journey in the wilderness, a Joshua, to lead them in. And when they were in the land of milk and honey, and they forgot that they were God's servants, they were called to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the world, to show people how to live and show people how God loves. When they forgot this, God continually sent the prophets, and every time God sent the prophets, when they were abused and stoned and killed, God continued to save a remnant. And then at the right time, God said, if nothing else works, I will become one with them. And so Jesus, born of Mary and Joseph, and moved back on time, was the window into showing us who God truly is. And even then, when we could not accept his teachings, his new way of life, the way and the truth that leads to real life, God-like life, even when we betrayed, denied, crucified, and buried, Christ, God, did not end the story. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at God's right hand, interceding on our behalf. The bow reminds us of God's eternal love that will never let us go. The part that Rennie read from 1 Peter talks about Noah and her baptism and the rainbow. But just as the waters of baptism do not wash us from sin, remind us of God's love.